So, the last time we were together, we saw that the whole purpose of Luke's book was to write so you might be sure, that you might have certainty. We live in an uncertain world with uncertain times, and there are a lot of uncertainties. Someone has said that the only two things you can be certain of are what? Death and taxes. Yeah, that's a common saying, isn't it? Well, you can be certain of death. Taxes? Well, maybe not. But I don't know where you'd live without being taxed now. But I can tell you this, you can be sure of death, but you also can be sure of eternity and where you will spend it. And that is the whole purpose that the New Testament was given to us. The whole purpose that Christ came into the world is that we might have certainty in an uncertain world. Oh, what a wonderful thing to lay your head on the pillow at night and be certain that you're saved. To rise up in the morning and be certain that you're saved. Certain that Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go there and prepare a place for you. And he said, I will come again and I'll receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus promises eternal life to those who believe in him. And so Luke lays out this gospel so that we might have certainty. So we saw how Zacharias was confronted with an angel and how some unbelief crept in there. Oh, whoa. He just couldn't believe that it could happen. And so he got a little bit of maybe a little chastisement. He wasn't able to speak until the baby was born. And that must have been a frustration for him because he came out and he was wildly signaling, trying to say something. And so we discover that God wants you to have certainty. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith. And we can see that in the first story there with Zacharias, as God does the impossible. What does he do? He causes Elizabeth, who is an old lady, to have a baby. And now we come to the next part of the story as Luke gives this narrative. And in this part of the story, we're going to talk about Mary today. Now, lots of times in Protestant churches, they don't talk about Mary very much. Right? Seems like the Catholics like to talk about Mary. Well, I'm going to talk about Mary some today, but I'm going to talk about Jesus more than Mary. Because Mary was the means that God used to bring Jesus into the world. She was never meant to be the one exalted. She was meant for Jesus to be exalted. And we'll see that even in her prayer. Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now when it says the sixth month, what's it talking about? Does anybody know? That's right. It was Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant at this time, because that's the previous story, which we looked at last week, and I'm not going to go over it all now. But Elizabeth was 6 months along from her pregnancy, and at that time, the angel, Gabriel, the one who had appeared to Zacharias in the temple, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, being betrothed in those days was an engagement. But it was an engagement that was serious enough that when you got engaged, to get disengaged, it had to be a divorce. That's how serious an engagement was. But during that engagement period, they didn't live together and they didn't sleep together. That would have been wrong. And guess what? It still is. It still is. It is wrong to live together, sleep together, unless you're married. That's what the Bible teaches. You can call me old-fashioned on that, but I'll stick with what Jesus says. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, that fornication is wrong and God will judge it. But he says the marriage bed is honorable in all, and God blesses the marriage bed. So let's consider what God has to say in the matter. But at any rate, this girl was a virgin. She was probably very young. They weren't that old when they got married. They were teenagers. So she would have been maybe 15, 16 years old at the time. And to us, that seems like, whoa, that's too young. I know I would say it was too young if I had, a bunch of girls that age. I'd say, wait till you're 25 or 30 or whatever, right? Maybe not that long. But anyway, that was they matured a lot maybe earlier than a lot of girls do now in terms of the responsibilities that they had. And so she was betrothed to Joseph. And Joseph was of the house and the lineage of David. And this was important because the Savior that was promised in the Old Testament had to be from the house of David. That's on Joseph's side. But we're going to find a little later in the Gospel of Luke, it's going to talk about Mary's lineage and trace her back and see that she was also of the lineage of David as well. So Jesus got it from both sides, even though Joseph was not his biological father. But the promise was from the seed of David would come the Savior of the world. Now again, when I speak about certainty, we find that God's not talking about fictitious characters. He's talking about real people, and he actually gives who's the fathers and the fathers all the way back in the Gospel of Matthew for Joseph, in the Gospel of Luke, later on for Mary. He traces their lineage, very detailed, very important, because it's saying these are certain things, certain people, real things that really happen. And so this virgin's name was Mary. And obviously, I don't have to go into a long description as to what a virgin is. It's someone who has never known a man, never been sexually involved. And the angel appeared and came in and said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Or some translations say, "All hail," which means, "Hello, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, here's Mary doing whatever 16 or 17, 15-year-old girls do. And suddenly, an angel appears in front of her and encourages her that there is joy coming. Great joy. And then he says, "Highly favored one." Now, favor, well, actually, some translations actually use the word "full of grace." Now, that grace is not that Mary is full of grace to pour out to you, but that God was pouring grace on Mary. Undeserved favor was falling on Mary. It's not that Mary was perfect and that and as a result of that, it was God who found favor. It's like in the Old Testament, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so in the New Testament, we find Mary found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And she was blessed among women. And there is no question whatsoever that Mary was blessed among women. And we're going to find out why, which I'm sure you already know. But as we look at the passage, we see what her response was in Luke 1:29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, "What's going on?" And consider what manner of greeting this was. It was like, why is he saying this about me? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Often when angels appeared, they said that. I wonder why. Think if you had an angel appear in front of you, you might tremble a little? Yeah. And so she was likely trembling a bit too. Well, what's going on? What's happening here? "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Again, the same concept of God granting favor to Mary. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus. And the word Jesus, if you went to the Old Testament, and you'd find the same word in the Hebrew is Joshua. And the word Joshua or Jesus means God who saves. That's his name. You will call him God who saves. That's a good name for him, wasn't it? Not an appropriate name. And of course, Joseph, in the meantime, after he finds out that his wife is pregnant, and he knows he didn't do it, he gets pretty upset. And he's thinking about secretly putting her away. He's trying to do it as graciously as possible. But you can imagine what he was feeling at that time after he finds out. But then an angel appears to Joseph and assures him and promises that he will be the Savior and said he shall be called Emmanuel. Not that his name was Emmanuel, but he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God with us is God who saves. You see, this was the glorious introduction of Jesus Christ coming into the world. You know, we celebrate Christmas because we think that's when Jesus came into the world. Is that when he came into the world? When did he come into the world? Now, I don't care about the actual date. When did he come into the world? 9 months before. He came into the world at his conception, not at his birth. That's when he actually showed up. That's when he left heaven. In the book of Hebrews, it actually says, Jesus said these words before he left heaven. He said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, volume of the scrolls, I come to do your will, O God." This is what he said when he was coming into the world. Jesus was in heaven with the Father, with the Son, with an eternal bliss in the presence because he was God, the Father was God, the Spirit was God. We just did a study on that at the last part of Gospel of Matthew, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were together for eternity, but at a certain point in time, Jesus says, "I'm going." The Father says, "I'm sending you." The Spirit of God enables it to happen. And Jesus leaves heaven's halls and descends to earth. And oh, how far down he descends. He descends all the way down into the tiniest little, some people say, squirt. That's all. Just a tiny little conception in the womb of Mary. That's a long way down. That's a long way down. He left behind his power. He left behind his knowledge. And he humbled himself. And the Bible says in Philippians, he became as if he were nothing. He became so small and so insignificant. And yet God chose for him to come this way into the world. Because he had to be fully God and fully man. In order to be fully God, he had to be the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. In order to be fully human, he had to be the son of Mary. And so he was both. And this was God's plan. This was God's way. And so you will conceive in your womb, you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Remember, there had been 400 years of silence. That silence was broken when the angel came in and spoke to Zacharias 6 months earlier. But now there is a crescendo. There's things beginning to build up here as we look at this. Because here's what the angel says. He will be great. Now we're getting descriptions about Jesus, right? Because he's the center. He's the purpose. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. There's a title for Jesus. He's the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That is was a fulfillment of prophecy that the Jews were waiting for, saying, "We know there's a Savior going to come. We know there's a Messiah that's going to make it here. And that Messiah will be from the lineage of David." And here he says that's what he will give him, the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. It's about Jesus. This Jesus is still the Son of the Highest. He's still seated on the throne. He still reigns over not only the house of Jacob, but he still is. This kingdom has no end. What wonderful words given to Mary, but given to us, that we might have certainty about who we are trusting in. That this was no accident. There have been many so-called saviors that have come and gone down through the ages. Many who have claimed greatness. Many who have asserted themselves. Many who would even look at Jesus and seek to demote him and say, "Well, Jesus was good. He was a prophet," such as the Mohammedans or the Islam faith says. "Oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. He was a prophet, a good prophet. But the last great prophet was Muhammad." Really? Really? And so time marches on, and many have come and gone down through the ages. But the name of Jesus still stands. And the name of Jesus is still declared throughout the globe. And the name of Jesus still has power to transform lives, to take men and women out of the gutter of sin and make them new persons on the inside, to give us a hope that goes beyond this life, a hope not based on whether I go out and murder people so that I can get sleep with a bunch of virgins on the other side. What a disaster that is. Oh, a hope that is based on personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth, God come to earth, God making the connection between heaven and earth that was broken because of sin, and a connection restored, a bridge built, so that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ has full and free access into heaven now and for eternity. This is the Savior. And Mary was the means that God had chosen for this to happen. And what a great privilege it was. Jewish girls had prayed for centuries that they might be the one to bring the Messiah into the world. It was considered the greatest honor that they could ever have. And so it was something that was longed for among the Jews. They longed for the Messiah to come. They longed for the Savior to come. And young girls longed that they might be the one who brought the Savior into the world. And here's Mary going about her business one day, and boom, Mary, you're the one. What does she say to him? Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She says, "How can this be? I haven't slept with anyone." When we read that word "know" means to intimately relate with someone. She says, "How can it be? I haven't had sex with anyone. How can that be?" Now, there's a difference between what Mary said and Zacharias said. Zacharias doubted that God could do it. Zacharias didn't believe that it could happen. Mary believed it could happen, but she didn't know how. She said, "Well, there's something wrong with the math here, angel. This doesn't work. It takes 1 + 1 to make 3. Is that right? In this case, 1 + 1, right? You get a third one, right? So my math's right. Ah, I got you. It's not going to work here. There's only one here. How can I get the second one? How can that be?" But the angel says this, and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, will overshadow you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now this is not physical. This is not physical. This is spiritual. This was the Holy Spirit who came over Mary and caused suddenly for a conception to happen in her womb. A miraculous conception. The only immaculate conception was the fact that Jesus was born into the world. There are some people that teach that Mary was conceived without sin. That's not true. Only Jesus. Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus Christ. But Mary had other children after that. The Bible says that there were brothers and sisters to Jesus. Actually half-brothers and sisters, but that he had quite a few of them when you look through the New Testament. But Mary had this privilege of the Son of God being conceived in her womb. It doesn't tell us the exact moment that happened. It just tells us here, this is what's going to happen. And then we know that it happened because after this, the angel says, "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren." And here's the verse I want you to think about today. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. May the Lord grant us grace to believe that, because Mary took God at his word. Mary took the angel at his word and knew that what God said was so. So Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," or "I am the slave of the Lord." That's really what that word means. "I am the slave of the Lord. Let it be me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. She said, I'm willing. God, you can do what you want with me. I wish we could say that today. I wish that every one of us would be willing to say that every single day, because we are challenged every day to trust God. If you're not a Christian yet, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior yet, God is saying to you, trust in my Son. Receive my Son into your life. You know, there's a little bit of a picture there. Now, granted, it's not the same, but in this sense, Mary was receiving Jesus inside of her to be conceived and born and grow and all of that miraculous work. But in another sense, God's calling every one of you to receive Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. John 1, 12. And so God is calling you to take a step. Mary was at a crossroads. The angel declares what's going to happen. Mary says, well, I don't know how that could happen. And then he says, well, this is what's going to take place. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and you will conceive. It will happen. She says, let it be done according to your will. And let me encourage you today. God is calling to each one of us and he's saying, let Jesus in. Let him into your life. Let him come into your soul. Scary? You think this wasn't scary? I'm not a woman, but if I was Mary and I was told that, I think I'd feel kind of, whoa, that sounds scary. That sounds overwhelming. Exciting, but scary. And I'll tell you what, when we're confronted with the gospel, when we're confronted with our need of Jesus Christ, it's scary. Because what's going to change? Everything changes, right? Hey, I mean, just talk to a woman who never had a baby before. And then they get pregnant. And then they go through that. And then they have the baby. Did everything change? Everything changes, right? Ask Amber. That's right. Yeah. Everything changes. And so it is, my friends, when you accept Christ as your Savior, when he comes into your life, everything changes. It really does. For the good. For the good. And there might be some agony in the birth of it, but it's good. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to come into your life. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to be that transforming power inside of you. Just as the very transforming power of Jesus Christ revealed itself as he came into the world and as he walked in this world. So my encouragement to you today is to say, Lord, I'm your servant. You can do whatever you want with me. Lord, come. Come into my life. This is a good day to be born again. It's a good day to let the Holy Spirit take over your life and come in, Jesus to come in and stay there forever. Because with God, nothing will be impossible. People watched me walk before I was a Christian, and I actually talked to some people who were Christians later on, and they said, oh, we thought you were impossible. But nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing shall be impossible with God. God can step into the hard situations. God can step into a broken world full of sin. God can step into impossible places and he can make things happen. If he can do this, he can do anything. And he is willing to do more than what you can ask or even imagine. That's what the Bible teaches. So let me encourage you today. Take hold of the word of the Lord. Believe what he says. Where nothing will be impossible with God. So Mary rose. The angel departed from her. Luke 1:39. Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She hurried up to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. They were cousins, by the way. Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist, was a cousin to Mary. And so they went. She went to see Elizabeth, who at this time was 6 months pregnant. And when she got in the house, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Powerful things were happening here. Because already, by the time she got to Elizabeth, she was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of God had already done this work. And so Elizabeth speaks out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, what's the fruit of her womb? Jesus. And it was true. She was blessed among women. And so we call her blessed. We say, thank God that Mary was a willing servant to receive and to do this. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She says, what an honor to have you come. The mother of the Lord, my Lord. And so, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The baby, not the blob, the baby, not piece of flesh, the baby, not a fetus, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Now, you might say, oh, that was just mama's baby was given a little kick. That's all that was. No, this was Holy Spirit directed. First of all, Elizabeth had no idea by earthly means that Mary carried the Lord Jesus. But she knew. She knew because the Holy Spirit had filled her. Do you see? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And that this babe leaped in her womb. That she knew, and she knew why this baby leaped. This baby leaped for joy because John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the prophet that was to come. He was the one that was going to be declaring who Jesus was. And the Spirit of God had filled not only Elizabeth, had filled John the Baptist. As a matter of fact, the prophecy was that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's what the angel told Zacharias, as we saw last week. And so here we see the Holy Spirit filling Mary, filling Elizabeth, filling, of course, the Lord Jesus, and filling John the Baptist. Well, that's wonderful. But I wanted to tell you something. The Holy Spirit is not gone and it's over and, oh, well, too bad. I wish I could have the Holy Spirit because it could fill me up too. But the Bible says that we are all, if you're a Christian, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You can leap for joy. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You can have peace with God, peace with other people. You can be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, the beautiful things that really matter in life. You have the blessed privilege of being filled with the Spirit. And that's awesome. It's wonderful. It's not just a story in the past, but that you might have the certainty of a walk with God, the certainty of having received Christ into your life and the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that these very joyful things that we see here are part and parcel of your life. And blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are spoken, which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. You see, Mary had to take a step of faith, didn't she? Okay, whatever you say, that step of faith. And now we have Mary's prayer. We're going to look at this and then we'll be done. And Mary said, this is sometimes called the Magnificat, her prayer to God. Here's what Mary said. My soul magnifies the Lord. Mary didn't say, magnify me. She said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my what?
Savior.
My Savior. What does that tell you? Mary needed a Savior too. Didn't she? She needed a Savior. She wasn't perfect. She needed a Savior just like everybody else needs a Savior. You know, the Bible tells us that in Adam, Adam's race, all have died. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Mary knew she was in that camp. She knew that she was a low person in that sense. She knew that she needed a Savior. And she was rejoicing in God, her Savior. And praise the Lord that she could receive the same salvation that you can receive. Why, he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. And that is so true. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. It's good to praise the Lord. If God's touched your life, give him glory. Give him honor. Give him thanks. And his mercy. Not only now she was talking about how God had blessed her, but now she says, but his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. So he says, she says, but it's not just me. It's for everyone. It's on everyone who fears the Lord. Everyone who humbles himself in the sight of God. Everyone who's willing to come to God will receive blessing. He will show his mercy. She says, I magnify God. He's shown me mercy. But not only me, but he'll show mercy to anyone. Anyone who is willing to turn. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. And if you actually looked at the prayer of Hannah when she got a baby in the Old Testament, Samuel, you'll see a lot of similarities to this prayer here. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So you can see at first Mary's thanking God for what the Lord has done to her and for her, but then she's thanking God for what he has done for the world and what he can do in any heart that is humble enough to receive him. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So Mary stayed till what? Till John the Baptist was born. Stuck with her. What times they must have had together. What incredible discussions they might have had. What wonderings these two ladies must have had as Elizabeth, old in years, is bringing a baby into the world. As Mary is there with the Son of God within her beginning to grow. Ah, we have to have a little ear to hear the thoughts that must have went through their minds, wondering how all this was going to work out. What was the Savior? What was this Messiah? What was he going to do? What was John going to be doing? In that, because the new John had this heavenly calling upon him, there was a great sense of excitement that must have been there, far more than just normal births. And friends, I want you to know, all of Christianity is a great place of excitement. It's a great glory, because the same mighty power of God is at work, that is at work in your heart if he saved you. He's at work in the lives of others as they get saved. And he's at work in this world so that I can get up in the morning and wonder, God, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do in Shetty Camp? What are you going to do in Pleasant Bay and in Dingwall and in Inverness? And Lord, let me be with you in this. Let me be seeing your work. Let me be walking in your work. Let me be filled with the Spirit, Lord, every day. Don't let me miss the wonder of walking with God. Oh, friends, Christianity is miraculous, and it's so miraculous that with God, nothing is impossible. Look to the Lord. First, surrender your life to him. First, be sure that you're saved. First, settle that certainty, and then look for the best of what God can do in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of others, because it's miraculous. For with God, nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing. Turn to him, pray to him, look to him, surrender to him, and see the miraculous. And you will find the miraculous is prevalent. Prevalent when you walk with God, when you live in the Spirit, when you live full of God. Yes, an angel came. Yes, Mary got a great blessing. But I want you to know that the Spirit of God himself has come. And he wants to come to you. You don't have to have an angel appear in front of you today. God himself is here in this room. And he's knocking at your heart. He's saying, let me in. Let me come in and take over. May you have the heart of Mary. May you understand how wonderful it is that nothing is impossible with God. And may you say to the Lord, Lord, let it be according to your word, Lord. Yes, Lord, save me. Yes, Lord, forgive me. Yes, Lord, take over my life. And indeed, daily say to the Lord, I'm your servant. Do what you want with me. Because nothing is impossible with God. Get on the glory train. Get on the walk with God and discover what it is to live, really live, when you're living with Jesus Christ, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the presence of God. And what an adventure we have in this walk with God. What a miracle it is. Amen.